Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Brother Robert Reed. I want to title the little message today. It's going to be short. I want to title it COVID-19 Commentary. I want to thank you for praying for me and my wife and our church. My wife and I have COVID-19, and I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But I have not been able to preach in 3 or 4 weeks, and we've been very sick. And I want to just speak to you for a few moments today about this subject. My voice is still a little weak, so forgive me for that. Back in March of this year, the 22nd, I preached a message titled Coronavirus Commentary. And I used Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. And in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, we find that the Bible tells us, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And so I spoke from that passage then. It was a very short message or commentary. And I want to do the same thing or similar today. Back in March the 22nd, there were only about 30,000 cases in the United States, and there were about 400 deaths. We only had about 138 cases here in the state of Alabama. Now today, or at least this week, this is the 28th of July 2020, we have about 150,000 deaths in the United States. That's since the 1st of March. 150,000 deaths this week. If we've not approached that, we're very close. We're having over 1,000 deaths every day in the last 7 days. We have over 4 million cases of COVID-19 in the United States now. We're actually averaging over 50,000 cases each day. They're estimating about 300,000 deaths by the end of the year if something doesn't change. As a matter of fact, they're estimating about 30,000 Americans to die in the next 3 weeks if something doesn't change. We've had 1 million cases in 2 weeks, new cases in 2 weeks here in the month of July. So this virus cannot be compared to the flu. This virus killed more in April and May than the average flu season would kill in 2 years. The average flu season is about 36,000. Now there are years that there's been more than that, like in 1918, this 1950s, 1960s, 2018, I believe there were 60,000 died from the flu, but the average flu season is about 36,000 deaths, and we find that this virus has killed more in 2 months, in April and May, than the flu would actually kill in 2 years, an average flu season. In Alabama, last week, we had in 1 day 57 deaths. So when I preached back in March, the 22nd, we only had 400 deaths in the United States and about 30,000 cases. Today, we have over 4 million cases, and we have just about 150,000 deaths. Now, my wife and I has been sick for a number of weeks. My wife today has been sick for 21 days. She has been in the hospital now for 11 days. She has been near death's door. I have never seen her this sick. She's almost had to be put into ICU and to be put on a ventilator. So far, she has avoided this. She has suffered greatly. And the reason I say this, there are many to say, well, this is just a hoax, this is a myth, this is a lie. They're using this for a political reason. The naysayers are saying this. Well, I know of many who have either had this virus, and I know of many, some have recovered, but I know of many that have died from it. And my wife and I both have had this. We still have it. We both tested positive, and she's been sick a little bit longer than I have, but she's been in the hospital for 11 days with pneumonia, with fever, dehydration, nausea, headaches, vomiting, weakness, fatigue, shortness of breath, cough, muscle and body aches, loss of taste, and again, there is more symptoms than that. I have never seen her this sick in nearly 46 years of marriage. So I'm saying to you that we need to take this serious. Now, my wife and I have faith. We have been safe. We have wore masks nearly everywhere that we go. We have not went very many places in recent months. We've not really been in other people's homes. We've went out to get groceries and gas and things of that nature, necessities, but we have not been out. But we still got COVID-19, and we've been very sick from this. Now, we have faith, but we also have a broken heart. I've seen my wife near death. I have been very sick, but I've seen her near death. And she still may have months to recover from this. And I'm saying that this is very serious, and I have said this from the beginning. I've had a lot of friends send me material and videos and articles and things and trying to downplay this virus. And my wife and I have taken this very, very serious. Now, I began studying this back in February, and one of the things that I've been saying to our church every service since about February or March, especially March, I've been saying, let us pray for the sick and dying and the loved ones of the sick and dying who cannot be with them. I've seen the stories of people dying in hospitals and nursing homes, and they're dying alone. Their loved ones cannot be with them. And that broke my heart. And I began back in March, especially the first person that I knew that had died. I just counted it as a ministry. And I began daily, sometimes two and three times a day, back in March, praying for the sick and dying and the loved ones of the sick and dying who could not be with them. I read many stories, and now here I am. I'm at home recovering, trying to recover. My wife is in the hospital, and I haven't seen her in 11 days. I cannot be with her. Now, the first person that I knew that died from COVID-19 was back in March. A man that participated with me in a funeral a year ago of a friend of mine. He got COVID-19. His wife got it. His wife was in the hospital, and he died, and she could not even attend his funeral. My wife's doctor said, if anybody has any doubt, let them come and talk to him and let him show them how many that are sick and how many are dying here, even in Mobile. In the VA hospital in Biloxi on the top floor, there are those that have COVID, those that are dying, those that are on ventilators. I have a friend in that hospital right now about my age that is very critical on a ventilator because of COVID-19. I know of a 30-year-old in Pensacola that got COVID-19. He has recovered. Have a friend that has a brother that was about 44 years of age. He got this in hospital for about a week. There's a pastor and his wife in Baldwin County that has this. I could give you a long list. I know of a preacher in Georgia. I know of a lady here in Mobile. Her sister has struggled with it for 3 months, still has problems. We have a church, a Southern Baptist church, that is 18 miles from us, 30 cases, and I know of two of the people that are in the hospital. In the Alabama Health Department, I know a man that his sister, 51 years of age, died from this. We had a mayor in one of our cities die from this. We had another mayor that got this, his wife and his mother, and I think all three of them are recovering. I had a technician with the VA sit down with me and said, I had this for 2 weeks, and my husband has it now. We have nursing homes that people have not been able to see their loved ones. I know of a pastor in Biloxi that died last week. They buried him on Wednesday. And again, another minister in that church that is on a ventilator. There's a doctor in my hometown in Dayton, Tennessee. My brother has sat and listened to him teach Sunday school in the past. He's very sick. His secretary died of this. I know another man right now that has been in the hospital for over a month, and they think that he may recover. And this is a very short list of people that I personally know. And people have told me, said, I don't know of anyone, but that doesn't make it to be not so. In other words, just because you don't know of someone that have had this doesn't mean that it's not true. I know of many people that has had it, and I know of people that has died. Again, the first person that died that I knew was back in early March. Now, let me come back to our text, and let me come back to my thoughts about what Christians should do. We find that in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, that we are to trust the Lord. We also find in verse 20, that God's speaking to His covenant people in the Old Testament. We are His covenant people of the New Testament. He says in verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, that is like a shelter. And He says, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Now, God said in this passage, in verse 3 and 4, He says, trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Rely on the Lord. He said that He would give us perfect peace if we would trust in Jehovah. Well, in the same chapter, He tells His covenant people, He says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. There are times when we are to hide ourselves. There are times when we are to be cautious, not be a fool. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And because we are so thick-headed as human beings, He had to make this exact same statement again in chapter 27, verse 12 of the book of Proverbs. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, coming back to my thoughts, what should we as Christians do? We see riots all over the country, but we also see some Christians rising up, talking about their guns and their constitutional rights and all these things. What is it that we are to do as Christians? What has God called His church to do? Again, I want to repeat this. I began telling our church in late February and early March, let us pray for the sick and dying, and the loved ones of the sick and dying who cannot be with them. That broke my heart. That became a part of my ministry. I prayed for people that I didn't even know across the United States. And I have done that daily since the 1st of March. We only had 400 deaths. We have nearly 150,000 deaths now. I have been praying for this. I've pleaded with our church to pray for those who are sick and those who are dying and the loved ones of the sick and dying who cannot be with them. This is devastating for the sick and dying. This is devastating for the loved ones of the sick and dying. That is our ministry. Our ministry is not to protest. Our ministry is not to take up arms and act like a bunch of fools. Let us not debate either where this coronavirus, this COVID-19 came from. There's the debate. Did it come from a wet market? Did it come from a lab? Does it really matter? We have it, and it's killing. It's making sick. We still don't even know who shot JFK nearly 60 years later. We may never know exactly where this COVID-19 came from. But one thing we do know that we can talk about is that we have it in our country. We have over 4 million cases, and people are sick, and people are dying, and many hospitals are full. This is not a hoax. Darlene's doctor said, "Bring them to me." And the health department of the state of Alabama put out a memo here not long ago refuting some of the misconceptions. I know the director of the state health department of Alabama. I know him personally. I do not believe that they're lying to us. Christians want to argue about lockdowns. Leave this to the politicians. They're not going to listen to us anyway. Let the politicians argue whether lockdowns are good or bad. I don't get into that debate. And then coming to the mask. Why? Why would I refuse to wear a mask in somebody else's business? Wearing a mask does not violate my constitutional rights. Walmart, Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, or any other business, they own their own business. They have a right to tell you what to wear in their store. If they want you to wear shoes in their stores, you need to wear shoes. If they want you to wear clothing into the stores, then you need to wear that. And temporarily, if they ask us to wear masks, why can't we give up just a few little things for the sake of other people? You say, well, the masks don't work. Well, doctors and nurses wear them for a reason. And the thing about it is, these businesses have the right to say whether or not that mask should be worn. You can go somewhere else and shop. A business has that right. If you had a business, you have a right to dictate what takes place in your business. And also, people want to argue the numbers. They say, well, 150,000 deaths this week is, those are exaggerated. Maybe they are. Let's cut them in half. That's still 75,000 deaths. Oh, let's cut it into force. If you do that, you still have 35,000 to 40,000 deaths. That is a lot of people to die. And so people want to argue lockdowns. They want to debate where this virus came from. They want to discuss the mass and say, oh, you're violating my constitutional rights. And they wanted to argue about the numbers and so forth. I want you to understand, this is not a political issue. Will politicians use it? Probably. But it is not a political issue. It is a issue of life and death. We are talking about today life and death. People are dying. My wife has nearly died. I know of many others who have died. I have pastor friends that have died. It is an issue of life and death and not politics. And who are we going to trust with our health? First of all, we go to the Lord. My wife and I prayed about this and stayed home. She was home for 10 days and finally had to go into the hospital. Well, am I going to listen to the doctors or some Baptist preacher or in other words, am I going to listen to politicians or some Baptist preacher, or do I need a doctor that knows something about medicine? Well, I'm going to go to the Lord first if I'm sick, and if I see the need of it, then I'm going to go to the doctor, and that's what we did with my wife. We didn't go to the politicians, or we didn't go to some preacher that is talking foolishness. Many preachers and evangelists and missionaries are talking foolishly today over this. It is not a political issue. The politicians, yes, we use it. It is an issue of life and death. And I'm saying to you that our ministry as a church is that God has called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has called us to preach His Word. He has called us to minister to others, and He has called us to pray, to minister, to preach, and to live for Him. You don't see the disciples or the Lord Jesus Christ or the early churches talking about civil war and taking up their weapons and going to war. No, they had a ministry. That ministry was to convert the world. And if I sound a little hard on this, I have been sent so many things in the mail, and most of the things that's been given to me has been refuted by credible doctors. And I'm just simply saying to you, don't worry about the numbers. There's a lot of people that have died. If you don't believe there's been as many as they say, it cut it in half or cut it in a fourth. I'm saying to you that this is real. I know of many that have been sick, many have died, and my wife has been laying in a hospital nearly near death for 11 days. Hopefully we are starting to be on the mend. And I ask you, as a Christian, to do the right thing as a Christian, not patriotism, not as a U.S. citizen, but do the right thing as a Christian, and quit putting out lies about this. People are sick and people are dying from this COVID-19. Again, in Isaiah chapter 26, in two verses, God's covenant people are told. They're told to trust in the Lord. And then in verse 20, the same covenant people are told to enter into their chamber and shut the doors about and hide themselves, as it were, for a little moment, not forever, not for 10 years, but for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Now, whatever that indignation was, I'm not sure, but we have a plague, we have a disease, we have a virus, and I'm saying that Christians ought to be safe. They ought to be respectful for other people when they go into their business and they go into public. They need to quit demanding their rights. We need to learn to give up a few things for Christ's sake. We see this all through the Scripture. Jesus Christ gave up His life so that you and I could have eternal life. Let us be as Christians. Let us love others. Let us quit debating politics and lockdowns and numbers and masks and where this thing came from. Let us recognize it is here and we must deal with it. And let us pray for the sick and dying and the loved ones of the sick and dying who cannot be with them. I want to thank you for listening to this, and I hope and pray that it will be a help, that it will be a blessing, that you will not be offended by it, but you will go to the New Testament and look at Jesus Christ and look at His apostles and look at the early church and see how they would have responded to this crisis that we have in our country. Well, God bless you and have a great day.